you very much for joining. Today, we are going to continue with the S&P 500. Here we have 220 plus years worth of the S&P 500. Do see the prior three videos for more, for exponential trends, for different types of trends, and making sure we can kind of understand what kind of returns are really offered by the market. Today, I wanted to take a slightly different look than the exponential trend, but still get a picture of how much the market's going to return if you stay fully invested over the long, long term, generational term. All right. So instead of looking at the trend line, let's just go ahead and look at 12-month intervals and rolling 12-month intervals. So that means not just December this year versus December last year, but November this year versus November last year, so on and so forth, all throughout the history of the S&P and beyond. Even this extrapolated S&P, which I've talked about before, goes back to 1800. Let's look at the rolling trailing 12-month returns of the market and see where we are. All right, and put that on right now. Okay, so it's on the right-hand side. Pretty volatile, all right? This assumes that you hold stocks, a broad basket of stocks. And it's true, of course. You couldn't really invest in such a thing until, and cheaply and efficiently, until ETFs, SPY, for example, started to come on the market in the last couple decades. But assuming that you had a broad basket of stocks and held them for at least a year, this would be your return. Okay, so right-hand axis here, dotted line, pretty volatile. Let's just zoom into the Great Depression so we can see what's happening. First of all, notice it's almost every other year or every 3 years, you have a swing from positive to negative. Okay, so we're measuring the green area here, but look at just, you know, 1914, World War I's kicking off. 1915, December, you can be at 31.6%. You go on to a few years later, 1917, December, down 30%. So on and so forth. Two more years later, roughly up 17%. And it continues. Then we have the peak right before the Great Depression at the end of the roaring 20s. You're up to 43% year-on-year return. That is, for example, this August, September of 29, versus August, September of 28, that is 1928. Great Depression hits, you fall massively as a percent return from the last year to where you can be down 64% year on year in 1932. But then look, you hold on long enough, 1933, if you invested at that nadir, at the trough when there's blood in the streets, you're up 120%. Okay, so it's volatile, you gotta hold on, and timing is everything. I know I'm not saying anything so unique and like eureka moment compared to if you're a finance guru, if you listen to stock traders and tips and newsletters and all that stuff. But it's just sometimes helps to look at an interactive chart like this and actually zoom out and understand it's really only every couple years that you got to hold on to swing from negative to positive. Now, again, timing is everything. You could be at the very top 1 year, you'd have to wait three more years and then get back up, maybe even to neutral, you'd have to wait maybe three more years or more. So the point though, and you can clearly see, not doing any distributions here, not showing you standard deviations, but I mean, you can swing from positive, you know, 10, 20, 30% to down the same amount in 2 or 3 years. All right, so that's just how the stock market works. It's volatile. Now let's look at the all-time average of these trailing 12-month returns. Okay, just to smooth it out, let's run an all-time average line across these dotted black trailing 12-month returns. The all-time average is going to be solid. And there it is. A little bit volatile as you got to wait for the numbers to settle in. But once they settle in, look at the average there. It's the third number in the tooltip. About 4%, 3.9, 4.1, 3.7. Even during the wild Great Depression, still 4%, 4.5, 4.9, 5. It's actually growing here. Remember, we talked about this in the last video. Now, the slope, the steepness of the trend does increase from the 70s and the 80s to where we get till today. Let's see if I can get exactly. December 2023, all-time average trailing 12-month return for the S&P 500, 5.8%. Okay. Let's take off the noise now. Let's remove these trailing 12-month returns. We just have the average. Okay. Now, let's look at it another way. Remember, I talked about how you can clearly see in the last video the slope of the market, whether this be from technology or whether it be from money printing, definitely a combination of both, increases a lot from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And then even after the dot-com, of course, you have major booms and busts from 2008, but we're up again many multiples higher from 2008, 2009. All right, this is a steeper growth than obviously anything that was happening in the 1800s or early 1900s. So let's, again, picking kind of an arbitrary date, but let's look at when we went off gold fully, pure fiat system from 1971. Let's look at the average S&P 500 return. It's going to be in red on the right. Okay, volatile at the beginning. I'm just taking the all-time average of whatever the returns are, and only starting from August 1971. But by 1983, we've already climbed above the all-time average. We almost peak from the beginning. It was even higher, but we're very, very high highs here in July of 2000, the peak of the stock market, the NASDAQ bubble. 10.9% average trailing 12-month return if you started averaging those volatile returns from 1971. Then we fall down with the two crises, the two end of the dot-com busts, and of course the subprime 2008 bust, worldwide financial crisis. But back up, and again, let's just go all the way out till last full month's data, December 2023. The all-time average from the 1800s, 5.8%. From 1971, the average, 8.9%. Okay. So over the last four videos now, I've given you different ways to measure the S&P. Okay. We've looked at total return, which is not here. This is just the index, not reinvesting dividends. We looked at exponential curves. We looked at exponential curves from 1971. We looked at trailing 12-month return averages from 1971 and all time. So I'm going to read them to you right now, and you'll see them on the screen, and just get a flavor of what it's actually saying. Okay, so the all-time exponential trend, which was a couple videos ago, 3.4%. The trailing 12-month all-time return average, 5.8%. So there's a discrepancy there. It's interesting. But those two numbers relate. Then if we look at the exponential trend, the slope of that curve from 1971, the year-on-year compound annual growth, 8.2% from 1971. And if we look at the rolling trailing 12-month average from 1971, 8.9%. Okay, so two sets of numbers there. The all-time numbers, 3.4% and 5.8%. And then the 1971 from the closing of the gold window, 8.2% and 8.9%. Now, this is the market. This is stocks. This is timing. None of these numbers are going to be scientifically the correct number. But you can see, you can start to understand what the returns have been historically all-time. And since we've gone off gold, started a pure fiat money standard, and had massive technology gains, those are the bottom two numbers, okay? So, again, just different ways to look at the same thing. I would encourage you to maybe run some doubling time on these numbers. Think about these numbers as well when it comes to the purchasing power of the dollar, the purchasing power of the main fiat currency that, of course, undergirds the market. And the returns that you basically need to get to stay ahead, that's important as well, because what these numbers represent is at least a benchmark for how your investment portfolio should be doing. Okay, it's not the end-all be-all, because again, you still got to factor inflation in, which is outside the scope of this video. But these are numbers that you should at least be getting per year, compounded per year, if you look across your returns over the lifetime of your portfolio. And then just the final thing to say about these four numbers is, remember, all of these numbers, as opposed to the very first video I did on the S&P return, which started in 1988, which was a total return video. Unlike that video, these numbers are without reinvesting the dividends. It does count the dividends that you will receive, but it just assumes you pocket them and you don't reinvest them. If you reinvest them, they will be higher. At least a percent higher, just add a percent onto here, probably not 2% higher, maybe somewhere between 1.5% and 2%. There are various ways to measure those as well. But bottom line, two different ways to measure the growth of the S&P 500 right here, two different timelines, two different timescales to measure the growth of the S&P 500. Hopefully this helps you when you think about your portfolio and the returns that you should be getting. Thanks for watching.